Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's read Matthew chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 35. And Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray together. Father, we ask you right now for clarity of mind as we look into your very important word. We don't take lightly the burden that is upon us here this morning to properly share your word with your people. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to hold your word in our hands complete here this morning. We thank you for those who sacrifice in their lives that we might have it here to look to. God, we just ask you to help now and work during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you can sense the intensity of the burden we read of Jesus having here today. Already the world is beginning to turn to him. As we're at this point of his ministry, he's beginning to develop who he is on this earth, God in the flesh. And people are coming to him for his miracles, but also those who are realizing that he is who he says he is are coming to him as well. And in the days to come, redemption's plan will be complete. And for the first time since the fall, masses will be able to have their sins forgiven. And as he goes about teaching, preaching, and healing, he sees that this coming harvest will be too large for just a small number to be able to reap. And he needed others to help him. He asked that his disciples pray God would provide the needed workers. And to put things sort of into our terms today, Jesus would be essentially someone who's got an endeavor started in this life and started off just them. Maybe them and mom and dad, or them and wife and children. And did all they could to make it a successful endeavor. People may come in and say, Are you guys hiring? Do you need any help? And they say, Well, no, not yet. Even if they did need help, they couldn't afford it or couldn't handle it. But eventually that endeavor gets to where it's large enough that they can take on some workers. And at that time in that endeavor is when they put out the sign. It says, now hiring, apply within. And that's essentially what we read of to put things in our language today as we see Jesus looking to his disciples and kind of stepping back from the situation where he is and realizing the coming harvest and looking out across. And the Bible speaks of seeing the fields white unto harvest. We realize Jesus himself says, we're going to need help. Guys, you need to pray. Pray to God that he would send laborers into his harvest. And that's exactly what we've gotten here today. Now hiring, essentially, is what Jesus is saying. We need to quickly fill positions in teaching, preaching, and healing. Those are the three things we read of Jesus doing here. We read in Acts of the first great harvest since the Jesus' ascension unto heaven and the Holy Spirit descended, and 3,000 souls were saved and baptized there. And more as time goes by, we see greater numbers of people coming to Jesus, not 3,000 all at once, but worldwide the harvest is ever more ripe. My intent today is to express to you the need for you to get to work. It's as if we're saying we're now hiring. The sign is out. All you need to do is apply. You see, no matter what your view of sanctification, the intention for you and I to evangelize is obvious in Scripture. Not just here, but throughout Scripture. Look with me in the text as we see first in verse 35 and 36 here, the burden of harvest. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. What was he doing? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness of every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Jesus is burdened. When he sees the great harvest, he sees the forthcoming harvest, he's burdened. That's the burden of harvest. Harvest is a good time, but there is a burden that goes with it. We can use the physical harvest to help us understand the spiritual harvest that we're speaking of here today. I grew up in Northeast Georgia, and in Northeast Georgia, everybody's chicken farmers. That's what the farms are. Not a lot of vegetable farmers, not a lot of tobacco or corn or whatever it is people farm these days, but they're chicken farmers, and everybody has these chicken houses, and they're really long, and they're really smelly. You all seen chicken houses? You ever been in one? You come out smelling like one for days. You know, you can wash your clothes, and you still can smell that chicken house. But the chicken farmers that we knew, they would receive these little bitty chicks, and they were cute. They were neat. You wouldn't eat these little bitty chicks. And they would put them in their chicken house. And for a while, they had to develop these chickens and get them to grow up. And they would feed them, and they would give them water, and they would give them steroids, and they'd grow really quickly. And then you and I would get them, and we would eat those chickens. But from that time of just kind of keeping the farm, so to speak, they didn't need a lot of help. They had machines that fed them, and they had machines that watered them, and the farmer and his wife and family could kind of look over the chicken houses and make sure everything was okay. They're funny down there. They play different music in different chicken houses, and the chickens react differently, they say, to the different music that they're playing. You believe that? I don't know if it's true, but you can go in one chicken house, and they will just have this just real hard, heavy metal, rock and roll music just playing all the time. And then you go in another chicken house, and they'll just have soothing classical music playing all the time. What in the world do you do that for? And they said, well, chickens react different ways. We put, I don't know, I guess they're just like us. We all like different kinds of music, right? But when we think of the physical harvest, we can understand the burden of harvest. Because while he's just keeping the farm there, the chicken farmer didn't need a lot of help. But when it came time to get those grown chickens and get them in the truck and get them off to where they needed to be processed, he needed all the help that he could get. In fact, if he didn't get enough help, the work wouldn't get done, and the profit wouldn't be so great. There's a burden of harvest. We think of that today when we think of keeping the farm doesn't require an excess of laborers. But at harvest, you need all the help you can get. Any fruit that is ripe and doesn't get harvested goes to waste. While the farmer's eyes can see a profit, his heart knows that it would quickly become waste if the laborers are few. Since the cross, we've been in a time of harvest. Jesus, we read of here, aware of this, carries a burden in our text. The emotion we see he experiences has been properly interpreted as deep, gut-level compassion. Look what he says here about him. He was moved with compassion on them. Seeing the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them. He sees all these who would need what he can give, but realizes the burden of reaching them all, which brings us past the burden of harvest and up to verse 37, the need in harvest. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus, even Jesus, God in the flesh, as amazing as that is to conceive in our minds, even he had to come to the realization that one person can only do so much. More help would be required to gather the coming harvest. If you read further into chapter number 10, you will see Jesus begin to organize his followers for the harvest. And he says here two big things. The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. There's a lot of work to do. We're going to need more helpers. We don't have to create the harvest. If you note verse 38 there at the end of the verse, after Jesus tells them to pray, he says to pray that God will send laborers into whose harvest? His harvest. You and I don't have to create the harvest. The harvest is already plenteous. God provides, we pick. In gathering their own harvest, in creating their own harvest, many ministries are gathering that which is not ripe. Or they begin to gather what is never intended to be gathered in the first place. You see, we're not in this to hoard as many believers here as we can. We're not in this to build bigger barns or better barns for our crop. Definitely, we're not here to be creating a superficial excitement over things outside of the truths of Scripture. We're in this to help as many as Jesus would save in their coming to Him. We begin to get into the creating of harvest. We miss what is our part in the text versus what is God's part in the text. The harvest is plenty with or without us. It's His harvest. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Since the cross, the harvest has been plenty. Jesus has done the hard part. You and I sort of get the easy part. Our part is the laborers are few. The harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. So that brings us from the burden of harvest to see the need of harvest. And then thinking on the laborers are few, we need to find the solution for harvest. Verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the solution for harvest here, Jesus says, pray to God that he would send forth laborers. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Pray to God that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus was burdened as he looked out over harvest. Jesus expressed the need and then said, let's pray that God will give us the help that is needed as the solution. What was Jesus busy doing? Jesus was teaching, Jesus was preaching, and Jesus was healing. Those were the things he was doing and still needed to be doing. Let's look at teaching. Everyone who ever comes to Christ needs teaching. Think about where you were when you got saved. Think about where you are right now in comparison to some others that maybe you look to and say, I wish I were like them. We need teaching. We need to be taught. I'm thankful for those who patiently work with me in maturing in the things of the Word. Thankful for those who still do, who mentor me, who help me. I'm thankful for those who taught me when I was in school. Thankful for my Sunday school teacher when I was just a child. I've got Bible stories in my brain that'll never go away. I'll forget my name before I forget Zacchaeus because of a Sunday school teacher when I was 7 years old. I'm thankful for that. We need teaching. Everyone, whoever comes to Christ, needs teaching. Some of you are gifted to teach. My question to you this morning is, are you teaching? Now, I'm not saying take a class. We have that's taken care of. But we could be teaching one-on-one. Whose life are you daily pouring into? Whose life are you daily working with? Who are you allowing to teach you? We need teaching. The harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Jesus said, pray that there would be teachers and preachers and healers. Preaching. I'm thankful for those of you who preach and do a wonderful job filling the pulpit when I can't be here. Some of you may be sitting here today with a calling to preach that you're denying. I would say to you this morning, you'll never be satisfied in any other endeavor in life if God is calling you to preach. Looking out over the current climate in today's churches, I'm burdened by the number of pulpits needing to be filled. I mean, how many churches do you know, just you, that need a preacher right now? You can look online and just see the listings of churches that say, we need a preacher. It's a burden to see that. But you know what's more burdening than to see the number of churches that need a preacher? It's burdening to see the number who have a preacher, but where those preachers, burdening to see where those preachers are starving the laborers while trying to create their own harvest. God, give us men who will rightly divide the word of truth and feed us on the things of God's Word. Can you preach? We need laborers. Teaching, preaching, healing. We're not going to heal like Jesus did. J. Vernon McGee was famous for always saying, I'll give anyone $100 who can ever come to me and show me where a faith healer has healed you. He said in all of his ministry, he never had anyone come to him. I'm not going to heal like that. But the healing work we can do is very needed. Some of you are gifted spiritual healers. You're very good at helping others keep going who feel like stopping in the work that they do. Those who become weary in well-doing, that's a needed labor. It's important that we encourage one another to keep doing what it is that we do in the church, in the community. A lot of the things that we do in the Christian walk can become tiresome. They can get old to us. We can feel like, well, somebody else needs to do that. Some of you are healers, and that you keep those who are doing something going in what it is they're doing. I'll be honest with you, healing in this area is not my gift. Spiritual healing, emotional healing, talk about that in just a moment. I'm bad at that. If you rely upon me to keep it going, I'll keep you discouraged. I'm not good at keeping you encouraged. I stay on you about what you're not doing and probably not enough to help you get excited about what you are doing. I have emotional walls up and I try to shield them. Try to keep on a good face. I don't know why I'm this way. It's just how I am. probably rubbed some of you the wrong way. I'm very sorry for that. I don't mean to be. I am sincere, and I do love you, and I pray for you and your family regularly. But when I see you come crying, I'm just like, oh, man, there comes a crier. Somebody get them. Some of you aren't that way. Some of you see a crier, and then you start crying too, and you go to them, you both cry, and you all hug, and you just cry it out real good. And I'm just like, but that could get on my suit. I mean, come on now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really that way. I am not really that way. And I would comfort you if you come to me crying. I'm just joking around. But I mean, in reality, that's not my gift. I don't always know the right thing to say. In fact, some of you have been with me in hospital rooms or at funerals or at hard times, and the preacher's supposed to pray. And a lot of times you've heard my prayer be very much this, and I'll just be me this morning, be honest. A lot of times my prayer is, Lord, I don't know what to pray. Is that a bad prayer? Is that a wrong prayer? No, I think it's a great prayer. Because I don't know what to pray. And Lord, I'm relying upon you for strength, for give me words to pray, or to help this family in spite of my words. But some of you, you do know what to say. Some of you do know what to pray. Some of you do know where to go in Scripture. Some of you do know when to call and when not to call, when to visit, when not to visit. Some of you are very much gifted in healing spiritually and emotionally. We need that. We need emotional healers. Our world is full of those who are scarred and hurting emotionally. They need a smiling face and they need acceptance. They need a card in the mail or an act of kindness. We need laborers. Are you healing? Are you preaching? Are you teaching? If you really pay attention to Jesus' life and the lives of those in the Bible who continued this work after Jesus was gone, you can see how they did what they did. I look at these disciples and I say, I could never accomplish all that they accomplished in their lives. I appreciate the fact that Jesus said the harvest is plenty, because I'm aware of that. It's obvious to us. I think it is. I mean, it would be backwards, but to say the harvest is not plenty would to say there are more people saved in the world than lost. There are more people serving God and going to church than there's not. And this is not the case. I mean, you go anywhere else today but church, and there's more people in those places than there are at church. So obviously the harvest is plenty while the laborers are few. I get that. But my concern is, okay, well, what do I do about it? How do I help? I mean, we have to go to work. I have to wash the car. I have to clean the house. I have to pay my bills. I have to do all this stuff I have to do. And when I observe these people's life, and this is a hard truth for us, the way they were able to do what they did in the Gospels here is they were not consumed with self. They gave up family, jobs, homes. They gave up what you and I would consider a good life to be laborers for Christ and with Christ. That's hard for us today as we're so consumed with life. Lord, I will do what you want me to do as long as it doesn't interfere with my life. As long as I can fit it into my free time, Lord, then I will. I hope that got on your toes, because it got on mine too. That hurts. I mean, I say that, then I ask myself, what is free time? What is that? Even if there's stuff I want to try to do in my free time, I don't have any of it. Do you guys have any free time? You got some you can loan me? I would take some of it. We don't know what that is. We're busy people. Thus, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. You see, it comes down to priorities. What are your priorities in life? I'm happy that someone prioritized their service to Christ to help me to become a Christian. Don't be too consumed with self to do the same for others. What we're doing subconsciously, we live our life unto self instead of unto Christ, and we allow some to fall through the cracks as we just don't have the time to get to them. We're saying to God and the world that we feel our secular effort is more important than our biblical calling. You say, well, I don't know if I've got a biblical calling. You see, people don't have a problem with the preacher being called. I feel called to preach. I feel called to this neighborhood. This is what I feel like. It's what I believe the Bible has instructed me to do is preach. I believe God led us to right here. We didn't know there was a Kingston Springs, so we're here, and it had to be God because I didn't know there was a Kingston Springs. But people are fine with that. But for me to look at all of you this morning and say, you all have a calling? You say, well, I don't know about that. I'm not saying you all have a calling to preach. I'm not saying you all have a calling to somewhere else to go. I don't want you all to move away. I like you. I want you to stay right here. But you're here for a reason. God doesn't have you just living in Kingston Springs because you happen to be born here. To say you happen to be born is void anyways, isn't it? None of us happen to be born, and I don't believe we happen to be born where we are. It's interesting, as I hear your stories, as you come to the church here and I get to know some of you, I hear your stories of how you got to where you are. It's amazing. And to think it's just happenstance is silly. God's in control. God has you where you are, and that is your calling, to be you here. But the harvest is plenty and the labors are few. You know, I titled today's sermon in a very silly manner, because we'd never actually put out a now hiring sign, would we? And that would be goofy, wouldn't it? But please don't miss the very serious burden and need here. Realize that you are the solution. Jesus asked his disciples to pray that God would provide the needed workers. And it wasn't long before the disciples themselves were teaching and preaching and healing. I mean, just as soon as he says this in verse 37 and 38, chapter number 10, they're organized and off they go, two by two, doing the work that Jesus had asked. Just said, pray that God will send these laborers, and then here they are doing it themselves. And that very same way, when we pray as he commanded, we will see what he saw, feel what he felt, and do what he did. Pray that the Lord will send laborers. But be prepared to be the solution and the answer to that very prayer. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at parfithbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.